Twice now he changed the leaves, only to find a seething mass of tiny black eltra lying underneath. Flies crawled round his skin burns, as though they were the only oasis of nourishment in a barren world. According to his guidance block, he had come 2.5 kilometres in the last 3 hours. It was hard going through the virgin undergrowth which lay along the side of the river. His crutch kept getting snagged by the thick cords that foamed over the loam. Slender, low-hanging branches had a knack of catching the spindlass. He picked the small wrinkled globes of abundant vine fruit as he went, chewing constantly to keep his fluid and protein levels up. But at this rate it was going to take him weeks to get anywhere. Durringham was his ultimate goal. Whatever resources and wealth existed on this misbegotten planet, they resided in the capital. Scouting it had been his team's mission. He saw no reason to abandon that assignment. Sitting waiting to die in the jungle wasn't a serious option. Recovery and evacuation was obviously out of the question now. So there it was, an honourable solution, one which would keep him occupied and motivated, and, should he achieve the impossible and make it, might even accomplish something worthwhile. Chas Pask was going to go down swinging. But for all his determination, he knew that he was going to have to find an easier way to travel. The medical program was releasing vast amounts of endocrines from his implants. Analgesic blocks had been thrown across a good 20% of his nerve fibers. Boosted metabolism or not, he couldn't keep expending energy at this rate. He accessed his guidance block and summoned up the map. There was a village called Ride, 1,500 meters downstream on the other bank. According to the LDC file, it had been established 9 years ago. It would have to do. He plucked another Elwise fruit and limped on. One advantage of the thunder was that no one would hear the racket he made ploughing through the vegetation. The light was visible long before the first of the houses, a welcome gold-yellow nimbus shrouded over the river. Snow lilies glinted and sparkled with their true opulence. Chas heard a bird again, the silly surprised warble of a chick-crow. He lowered himself in tricky increments and started to slither forward on his belly. Ride had become a thriving, affluent community, far beyond the norm for a Stage 1 colony planet. The town nestled snugly in a 6 square kilometer clearing that had been turned over to dignified parkland. It was comprised of large houses built from stone or brick or land coral, all of them the kind of elegantly sophisticated residence that a merchant or wealthy farmer would own. The main street was a handsome tree-lined boulevard, bustling with activity. People wandering in and out of shops, sitting at the tables of pavement cafes. Horse-drawn cabs moved up and down. An impressive red-brick civic hall stood at one end, 4 stories high, with an ornate central clock tower. He saw some kind of sports field just outside the main cluster of houses. People dressed all in white were playing a game he didn't quite know, while spectators picnicked round the boundary. Close to the jungle at the back of the park, 5 windmills stood alongside a lake, their huge white sails turning steadily even though there was very little breeze. Grandiose houses lined the riverbank, lawns extending down to the water. They all had boathouses or small jetties. Rowing boats and sailing dinghies were moored securely against the sluggish tide of snow lilies. Larger craft had been drawn up on wooden slipways. It was the kind of community every sane person would want to live in. Small-town cosiness, big city stability. Even Chas, lying in muddy loam under a bush on the opposite bank, felt the subtle attraction of the place. By simply existing, it offered the prospect of belonging to a perpetual golden age. His retinal implants showed him the sunny, happy faces of the citizens as they went about their business. Scanning back and forth, he couldn't see anyone laboring in the pristine gardens or sweeping the streets. No people, no Bitech servitors, no mechanoids. The nearest anyone came to work was the cafe proprietors, and they seemed cheerful enough, chatting and laughing with their customers. all generals and no privates, he thought to himself.